when someone who appears to have everything going their way dies from a drug overdose, just like in the case of actor Philip Seymour Hoffman, question of why someone would do that to themselves springs forward in most people's minds, I would think. Yet, when you take a long, hard look at that life, you do eventually gain an understanding of what addiction is and all the ways it could be enabled and empowered by the person, by the people around them, the circumstances that they have or have had in their lives. Joining us now is a substance abuse counselor and addiction survivor, by the way, who can offer expert insight into this whole situation, along with being the founder of the Resource Training Center. She's the author of the book 12 Tins, which shares the story of her recovery from, here's my understatement for the morning, an extremely traumatic experience. We say good morning to Donna Mae DiPaola. Good morning, Donna Mae.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Great to have you here as a, as an expert and as a, someone who isn't just coming out of approaching this from a book knowledge, but personal knowledge, which I think is where you make the vital difference. Let me give the website for the Resource Training Center. It is the obvious, resourcetraining.org. And let's go with that common question, Donna. You got someone who's got it all. They've got success. They've got money. They can have anything they want in their life. Why do they turn to something stupid like destructive behavior, whether it be drugs, alcohol, combination of the two?
Well, I think what people don't realize, especially the person that's never used drugs or alcohol to the extent of addiction, I think what they don't understand is people don't choose to be addicted. Whether you believe in the disease concept or not, I mean, people use drugs for reasons. Most of the time, it happens with friends and peer pressure. Starts with marijuana, maybe alcohol. But it one thing about addiction, it doesn't care whether you're rich, it doesn't care whether you're poor, white, black, green, it doesn't matter. If you become addicted, it doesn't matter to what lengths you're going to go to feed that addiction. At the time, in the early stages of addiction, you really don't think you're addicted. You think you're having fun. And, you know, if you take Philip Seymour Hoffman, he had 23 years of recovery. And in his house, they also found Suboxone, which it appears that he's tried to clean up himself, but he couldn't. The thing with addiction is, it has to be watched every day, just like diabetes, just like cancer. But society, unfortunately, doesn't look at it that way. They think it's a self-inflicted disease. Who do you know would want to wake up every morning and inject himself with a drug that's going to make him feel different and have to go through the day doing nothing else but searching for that drug?
I think with Hoffman, too, what's frustrating for people who liked his work or maybe had the privilege of meeting him and liking him as a person, it was, I think, in 2011, 60 Minutes interview, we talked about his past struggles with drug and alcohol addiction. And he said, anything I could get my hands on, I liked it all, but it was fear that made him sober up. He was 22. He got panicked for his life. He had that moment of clarity where he saw, I'm screwing this up big time, and he was able to slam on the brakes. But then 2 weeks before his death, magazine writer John Arundel said he met Hoffman at the Sundance Film Festival in Utah, and he said, what do you do? And Hoffman takes his hat off and said, I'm a heroin addict. Addicts know what they're doing. It's just, you know, again, the outsider looking in sees the stopping as something easy to do, but how tough is it for the addict to say, this is bad, but I'm going to...
Well, if you use the analogy of the worst, if you had the flu and you times it by 1,000, you know, the leg cramps, the stomach, the diarrhea, the constipation, you times it by 1,000, and someone hands you a tiny bit of powder, and those symptoms are gone in less than it takes to inject or snort, what do you think this person's going to do? They want to feel better to get better. The problem is they're afraid to get better. They think they're going to kick at themselves, and they actually feel that this is something that they can control themselves until basically it's too late. I don't believe in the word denial with addiction. How can you be in denial with 300 bags or 200 bags of heroin in your living room? That isn't denial.
Yeah, that's not a normal lifestyle.
No, that is him addicted, and he, you know, did he kill himself? No. He was addicted. He probably was off drugs for a while. He took too much, and he died in the bathroom with a syringe in his arm. Now, you tell me, from the time he injected till the time he died, how many seconds that was that he didn't even get a chance to take the tourniquet off of the needle. It's quite obvious that anyone that looks from the outside is addiction.
Some stats from the Centers for Disease Control. Heroin's still the number one killer of illegal drug users. Overdose deaths from heroin, they've increased recently. Heroin use on the rise. 2011, 4.2 million Americans over the age of 11 had tried heroin at least once. That was from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. We have an organization here in Northwest New Jersey, Center for Prevention. They had programs to talk to school-age kids about keeping away from drugs and positive peer pressure. When these programs were first launched, they were targeted toward high school kids. Mm-hmm. And as time has progressed with these programs, they're now going into middle schools and they're contemplating elementary schools with the same program now.
Bay Ridge has come to me Saturday night. I'm going to speak at a mosque. There were four Muslim boys dead in the last week of pill and heroin overdose. Four. They asked me to come and speak to the community because I'll tell you about the Arab community and Yemen. They don't know about addiction. That's unfortunately our country. They don't know about it. So to go there, they don't get it. They think that, well, they started smoking, they're going to use drugs. They don't understand the addiction part of this country. And hopefully we can save some more lives. I don't know if you read, Chris, about the 22 people in Pennsylvania died 2 weeks ago and the four people in Nassau died from the tainted heroin from fentanyl. I mean, what bothers me is Seymour Hoffman is, you can Google him now and get 10 pages on his overdose and death. And you Google these kids, you don't even get an article. And these kids have parents. These kids are putting their hands out to parents and saying, help us, help these kids. And once it starts with, whether it's Obamacare or not, it's treatment. You know, adolescents and young adults are very hard to treat. They're not through getting high. You know, they like getting high, and they think they control it until they take that pill, and they take it for 2 days, and then when they try and stop, they can't.
Donna Mae DiPaola, who is the founder of the Resource Training Center, also author of the book 1210s, resourcetraining.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Of course, we had the Super Bowl here a few weeks ago here in New Jersey, and one of the side notes was how the states of the two teams have legalized marijuana. They had a poll here in New Jersey, Public Mind from Fairleigh Dickinson University. More people want legal marijuana than legal sports gambling. Are we overlooking the path to addiction? I mean, we wait until someone is, you know, has their feet stuck in the concrete of addiction, but people call marijuana a gateway drug. People don't, you know, an addict does not start downing the bottle of vodka a day. They have a couple of beers first. The drug addict does not start with heroin. They start smoking sometimes just plain tobacco cigarettes, then they move to pot, and then they go on to, they move forward. Are we ignoring the path to the hardcore addiction, and is that one of the big problems?
Well, I don't know if it's ignoring or, you know, I feel the United States is throwing up their hands with marijuana and saying, well, what are we supposed to do? They're smoking it anyway. I think the same came with prohibition. Alcohol was the same thing, and then look what happened with the alcohol. I mean, more people die of alcohol-related deaths than any other drug in the world, but we still have serving alcohol. Same with pills. Pills for people are the same thing. People get up in the morning and take a drink. People will start like a high school kid. I had a kid, he's dead now. He had a high school knee injury. The doctor went from a knee injury to oxys. He got addicted, and in 1 year, the kid was dead. So I think there's a lot more than blaming marijuana and alcohol. I think there's a lot more with prevention and education that we do need, in not only in the school systems, but also in community-related systems, in people that politicians, not just because they're running that year, it's because they're concerned about the community.
Mentioned in your book, The 1210s, you talk about the trauma you had your father molest you and actually filmed it, and ergo the name of the book, The 1210s, and you became an addict, drugs and alcohol, up to 4,000 a week in addiction. Only have about a minute and change left here, unfortunately, but at what point did you say, enough, that's it?
Well, I didn't even, to be honest with you, I didn't even realize I was addicted until I tried to stop. Then when I stopped, I knew I was addicted. What happened is my mother was sick, and I was crying that she might die, and I couldn't understand why I was doing drugs at the time. So I decided to stop, and I couldn't. So then I had to go to rehab or a psychiatric hospital because I had cocaine psychosis. And I came out of that hospital and used again. And then after a few months, I said, I can't take this. I went to 12-step. I went to treatment. And, you know, 28 years later, I have not used an illegal drug. And you know, something, I'm not proud of my past, but I hope my past can teach other people about their future.
You can learn from the lives of others, and that's exactly what you will do from Donna Mae's book, The 12 Tens. You can get that at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and learn more about her work as the founder and one of the leading forces in helping people get their lives right and overcoming addiction through the work of the Resource Training Center, resourcetraining.org. Donna Mae DiPaola, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me, and I hope our conversation has sparked some, you know, clarity in addiction.